Good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this beautiful Thursday evening, May 26, 2016. Been a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Had some rain, had about 3 inches of a slushy hail. caught me in town today and had to pull over and clean off the windshield. The windshield wipers just wouldn't do it. But it cleared up, dried up, and had some blue skies and clouds as the day went on. And so praise the Lord. Hey, that's springtime in the Rockies. And the good Lord knows what he's doing. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, 9. So his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are greater than ours. But you know what? His ways are better. And if he wants to send rain and he wants to send the storms, he can do that. He also tells us that we can rebuke those storms. You heard some talk about that last night if you tuned in to the Hope is Alive program. And, you know, we took authority over some, excuse my voice tonight, a little froggy there. Been fighting a little sore throat, but we're going to get through this program tonight. Why don't we pray to our Heavenly Father first? That might be the best thing to do before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we come to you. I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, unashamedly, Lord, knowing that he is the Son of God and that he did go to that cross on Calvary to save a wretch like me, to redeem us, your people. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone tonight, Lord, to be able to share your gospel, your truth, your word with your remnant, Lord, and with the world. Lord, to be able to put the word of God out on the airwaves, Lord, and to bounce it all over the world on shortwave and internet and up on the audio satellite, Lord, so that your word would resonate around this world, Lord, and all over. And that we know when your truth is put out, Lord, that it does resonate with your people. It finds a home in your people, Lord. Your people that are searching, that are looking for the truth. Oh, yes, Lord, we know they are. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for our pastor that came before us, Lord, that labored and worked. And, Lord, through your blessing was able to build this ministry and set this up so that your word can go out. Father, guide and direct us and lead us down your path, Lord, as we continue on building on that foundation that was laid so long ago, that foundation of Jesus Christ. We continue to build upon that, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the laborers that have gone on before us, Father, and for those that will come on after us. Lord, for right now, we labor in the field. We continue to put your word out, Lord, to the whole gospel, all of it, from start to finish. And we thank you that you allow us to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Thursday, May 26, 2016, we are just 2 short weeks away from Branson 2016, from the solemn assembly that we've called for, that we've prefaced with prayer and fasting of the remnant. And I'm looking at the calendar here for May and back in April and then March when we began the call for prayer and fasting in preparation for this year's solemn assembly in keeping with and in obedience to the word. And if you saw our volume 3 and volume 4, especially volume 4 Dragon Slayer newsletter this year, and that should be out in everybody's hands. It's on the list by now. And it's entitled Solemn Assembly. And that's what the whole newsletter is about. What it is, why, the scripture verses, previous solemn assemblies. Do you know there was even a solemn assembly called a day of fasting and prayer called during the war between the states? No, it wasn't Ulysses S. Grant that called for it, I can tell you that. But it was called for, and it was observed. And so, we've been calling for one. And so when I look at this calendar and I see the remnant from all over the country that have prayed and fasted from March and into April, and I see many, many states and just initials. We just use people's initials on this calendar so we could keep track that we had every day covered, and we have. We have had multiple people praying and fasting every day, and we continue to for that solemn assembly. If you want to get involved, if you want to be part of those that are praying and fasting, whether you can attend the Branson gathering or not, we do encourage you to contact us here at the office and to participate in this, to pray and to fast. What have you got to lose? Can you not do that? Can you not maybe fast one meal? Might be breakfast, lunch, dinner. Maybe fast snack foods, whatever. And fast and pray. Pray for repentance. Pray for a revival among the people of God. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. You can send us an email at preacher@sfaw.org and say, hey, I'll pray and fast. Put me down for a day. Or put me down for a meal, at least. We ask you to do that. To do that. And you know, even fasting one meal, it has health benefits as well. It does. That's just on the side. And so we are just a day, 2 weeks and a day from Branson 2016. We do still have a little bit of room left, so if you're just late in getting a registration in or thinking about wanting to join us there, maybe you've prayed about it and something's happened where you just something's come up where now you can't attend. Well, we still got a little bit of room. We got the mailing list into the hotel, but hey, we can still take a few more. There's still a little bit room. It's still day, as John 9 says. That's part of our Bible reading plan the last couple days. And in John 9, it says in verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Well, guess what? He's not talking about the night that our East Coast listeners already have at quarter after the hour. That's not the night that he's talking about. He's talking about the eternal night that's coming for some. But right now it's day. And right now we are to work, to do the things that he has called us to do while it still is day, while we still can. And so while you still can, we encourage you to work. Pray about Branson. Pray and ask. You know, that's one thing that a true Christian, a baptized, repentant Christian, that's one thing that they have. I learned that from a Christian man years ago, is that if you have repented and been baptized, you've believed Christ, you've made a public profession of faith, and you know, you're even if you've what the world calls backslidden, but you've been obedient to his word to that degree, you have that gift of the Holy Spirit, and if you ask, if you pray about something, God will give you the answer. He does. He answers the prayers of his people. So if you ask, if you pray, Lord, should I go to Branson? Whether it's a sacrifice or not, should I make the sacrifice? Should I call and sign up? Should I go? If you ask him in prayer, he will tell you. He will answer that prayer and let you know. And that's all we've asked the remnant to do, is to pray about it. Now, we put a couple stipulations this year on the gathering in Branson, because it's not just a family reunion, as most of them are. It's not just a joyous occasion for the remnant to come together like the feasts of old for fellowship and praise and worship. It is those things, but it's also a solemn assembly. And so, just as we practice closed communion in the church, and we serve communion to those members of the body that have been obedient to the word, that if they're over the age of 20, a biblical adult, and therefore responsible, then they need to have been repented and been baptized to participate in communion with us. And so we ask. No, we don't require you show us three proofs of three proofs of it, like the government might. But we ask. And if you're of age, to participate in communion with us at the local church, because that's what communion is for. Is for the adult, repentant, baptized believers. Now, we are holding that same criteria for the solemn assembly, because it is a gathering of the saints. It's a gathering, and again, I encourage you to read our Dragon Slayer Volume 4 newsletter. It's up on the website at scriptures4america.org. If you're on our list, the thousands and thousands of them have already been mailed out. We've emailed it out as well. And so we encourage you to read through it. But that is the criteria for coming this year, to pray about it and to either be coming for baptism, and we do. I know we have a couple in New Jersey coming out for baptism, and I've spoken to other people that are coming out to be prayed over and coming out to be properly baptized, because it's in His Word that's what we're to do. It's in Acts 2:38. It's all throughout the Word that's what we are to do. That's when we are born again. That's when we contact the blood of Christ. That's when we share in His death symbolically, so that we can share in the glory of His resurrection. And so, it is a work. It's a necessary work. It truly is. And so, so that's one of the requirements. And then the other is that you heeded the call for Passover, to observe the Passover. And that was such an important call, and it's such an important biblical day to remember that we're coming back into the knowledge of this, and have for the last 15 years now, that there's even a makeup day. And so that's the other requirement, is that, hey, if you are aware of the Passover. Now, you know, we've had new people come onto the ministry since then that are baptized or are coming for baptism. And so, of course, that's not required of them if they didn't know about it. Anyway, just wanted to touch base on that, because it is an important event that we've called for, this solemn assembly. Well, not really going to touch on current events tonight. The presidential election, it's in an uproar. That's, I think, an answer to the pistol prayer that we've been praying for D.C. sorcery to cease, the satanic strongholds to release, for the bales to be broken and bound, and all idols be cast down. And we're seeing that. The idols are being cast down. The old elephant and the old donkey jackass, they just, you know, they don't mean to so many of the people what they used to mean. It's because they're idols. And our prayers have been answered, and they are being cast down. They're being cast down into people's minds. There's coming a day, we're reading in John 9, and I want to go back there. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you, open them up. Let's look at John 9. This is the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John 9. And in this, yesterday's Bible reading is when Jesus comes up and heals a man that was born blind. He was blind from birth. He had never seen. His eyes had never seen. That's what blind from birth means. And let's read this, because it in itself is certainly a miracle. But what comes after, well, I think it describes how so many are today. John 9, starting in verse 1. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi," or teacher, "who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered and said, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." But while he was there, he had to do the works of God the Father who sent him. And Jesus Christ is our example, and that should be an example to us. That's one reason it's so important to read our Bible. It's because that's just what he says. We must do the works. And this man was blind from birth so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, you know, we read earlier Isaiah 55, 9. Let's read 55, 8, and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Because when you first read this John 9, you might think, well, why would God do that? Why would God have someone blind from birth so that the works of God might be displayed in him? Well, it's so that the works of God might be displayed in him. God is the creator. The creation is not the creator. God is the creator. And he, because he is God, he is able to do what he wants with his creation. You know, God created Pharaoh for a purpose. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, we may not have a full understanding of that. That's okay. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And our ways are not his ways, so says Isaiah 55. But his ways are right, and what God does is right. And so, when we read something in the Scripture that may not seem right to us, because you know, many times we read this, well, goodness, why? This man's blind from birth. Romans 8:28 applies. God worked it all for good. It's what he does. Okay? We read on. Verse 5, Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. He went and washed, and he came back seeing. And I've read it, doesn't say it right here, but I think it is a little bit later in here. It talks about this man blind from birth that maybe he was in his 30s, however old he was. Now he could see. He'd never seen before, but now he could see. And you know, think about that. Now we either believe that or we don't. We believe that this man had a cane and you know, he had been blind from birth, so says the Word. And Jesus healed him. And now he could see. Now, you know, some people they try to spiritualize that. Well, he was blind to who Christ was. He was blind to the truth. He was blind to the gospel. No, he was blind he couldn't see. Close your eyes. Close your eyes, remnant, right now. Close your eyes and put your hand over it. And see the black. See how dark that is. That's what it was like for this man until he came up and met Jesus, until Jesus healed him. Verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. And you read the rest of the story. They bring the Pharisees to the Pharisees, the man that was blind. And, you know, in verse 14 it says, now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees ask him, and you can read through. I think for time we won't read through the whole thing. But just a couple of highlights here. Like verse 16, it says, therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And see, that lets you know that of the Pharisees, there were Pharisees, and then there were Pharisees. Saul, who became Paul, was a Pharisee. But I believe he would have been the one saying, well, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? Because he believed the signs that were given. He believed the works that were done. Verse 18 says, the Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight. And they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? See how they twist things? See, they didn't believe the facts. And there's still some today that just don't believe the facts. I saw, was doing a little bit of research earlier this week, and on the blood, you know, where the scripture says, and comparing it to that now, you could say that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I might just look that up. Let me flip over there, and we'll just read that, because I think it applies here. And so let me flip over there and get to that part, if I can. Let's see here. Need a little background music, don't I? Like Jeopardy. You don't want me to hum or sing. I'm kind of croaky voiced as it is. And even when I'm not, you don't want me singing. God, it may be a pleasant sound to God, but that's about the only place that it is. And so it's Hebrews 9 over here in verse 22. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And it goes on to tell about Jesus, and of course, you look up even verse 18, therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. And so, without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's New Testament, Hebrews 9:22. Well, that's what the Word says. Well, there's all kind of books, and I saw just, and that, this is what I saw in some research, that here this so-called Christian pastor and author says, that's not what it means. Blood is not required. And I thought, you lying, you know what? Because the Word says blood is required. Now, we don't shed the blood of goats and lambs today because we have the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, just as it was in the days of John 9, when they saw the signs, they saw it happen, they knew this man. They'd seen him begging out by the gate for years. And now he could see. And they wouldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. Now, you know, I think we have to guard ourselves and make sure that we do not fall into that same trap. Let me ask you, do you believe? If you'd have been there and seen the man blind for years, and then you see him after church on Sunday, and he's walking around looking and seeing, would you believe that he was healed? Would you? Do you believe it when people are healed today? Because people are still healed today. The Jews didn't believe it. And then you go through and you can read John 9, and it talks about, you know, they questioned the parents, and of course the parents were afraid, so they go back to the man. They go back to the man here, and let's pick it up in verse 24. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner, meaning Jesus. So they said, give glory to God. We know that this Jesus is a sinner. And then the man that had been blind, that was healed by Jesus the Christ, said, he then answered, whether Jesus is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? They reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Well, here's an amazing thing. You do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners. You know, that's the truth today. I pause there. Because sin in your life will keep God from hearing your prayers and from hearing you, other than a prayer of repentance. And it says it right here. We know that God does not hear sinners. This is New Testament, folks, the Gospel of John. So if you want God to hear your prayers, if you want God to, do you want God to bless your children? Do you? Or do you want Him to forget your children? You know, I want God to bless my children. Because you look back in Hosea 4:6, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also, says God Almighty, will forget your children. You know, we've read that before. But there's somebody out there that needs to hear that. There's somebody out there that has forgotten the law of God, that has forgotten Jesus Christ. And your children are going to pay for that. So you need to repent. You need to return. You need to stop sinning. Stop breaking His law that was not nailed to the cross. The curse of the law was. And you need to return to God. Because Hosea 4:6 can also read, since you have remembered the law of your God, I also will remember your children. I want God to remember my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren when I have them, when I'm able to see them. I'm able to see my children's children now. That's a blessing in itself. But I remember Him, and I remember His law, and I know He will remember my children. So says the Word. We go back to John 9, and He says, We know, we just read here in verse 31, He turned the light on in here. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, God hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And so here this beggar, this person, see, they knew who he was. They knew he'd never had an education. They knew all he'd done is been blind and been out sitting, alms for the poor, help a poor blind man, won't you? Oh, thank you, sir, for that, on the occasion that he got help. See, these antichrists, they knew him. They knew he had been, and they were incensed because Jesus had a higher law than the law they thought they kept. Verse 34, they answered him and they say, You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So they put him out. Now see, they answered him and said, You were born entirely in sins. But remember where we started over here in verse 9 when they said, Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, It was neither this man sinned, nor his parents. So see, his parents had not sinned, and he had not sinned. And so once again, these Pharisees were wrong in their understanding. They applied a lie here. The man was not born in sin. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to them, You have both seen him. And he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. See, he puts it back on them. These are the same ones that said, oh, you who were born in sin, get out of here. You're going to teach us? You're going to teach us, you young whippersnapper? It was a whole different, they didn't have a clue. We have to see beyond that. We need to see that. This man wasn't born in sin, and Jesus throws some sarcasm right there to him. If you were blind, you would have no sin. You who accuse the blind man of sinning and his parents. And Jesus says, but since you say, we see, your sin remains. See, they had no compassion. They had no mercy. But the man that was blind, he believed. And he worshiped. And he worshiped in truth and in spirit, I can tell you that. I love reading the Bible. I hope you do too. I enjoy hearing it, even if it is just me reading it in this croaky voice tonight. Well, I see the phone line ringing. Let's see if we can take a phone call. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard. This is Bob.
Hey, Bob. Good evening.
Concerning the law, you know, a lot of people like to say, well, the law's been nailed to the cross and we're under grace and all that, so no more law. But yet, you are. You're not under the Levitical law for righteousness.
Right.
But we are to be living under, it's told to you in a couple places, there is something that you're told there, and it's called the perfect law of liberty.
Yes.
And if you live, and then what's meant by this, this doesn't mean that you're under no laws, but see, if you live by those laws, you have perfect liberty.
Yes.
You have liberty, and that liberty that's being talked about there is freedom from the condemnation of death and hell, because
right.
You're no longer under that.
Right. That's called the curse of the law.
So, but by living under... So what is this law of liberty? You read further and in different places. It is the royal law. In the same chapter of James, you'll find this spoken of. The royal law is more or less like your do unto others as you would have done unto you, but deeper, where, you know, there's supposed to be love and caring involved in it. And the way you live that, because you're told that you're supposed to have, if you've really got the Holy Ghost, you should be having the laws of God written on your heart. But yet, it's actually an expanded Ten Commandments written on your heart. And by expanded, what that means is it's no longer just on the physical level, it's also on the thinking level. So in other words, like, of course you would be breaking the law if you stole something from somebody, but in the or if you did some this or that or whatever, or committed adultery or you know, or what have you, of course if you did that, you've broken the law. But what Jesus told you, that if you plan on it or you think about it, you've also done it. So see, that's the expanded version of it. And so if you're living, you know, this is where you really have true liberty. Because if you're living this law of liberty, you've got salvation.
Yeah.
You're living within the prescribed...
Right. It's a way of life is what it's supposed to be. It's not something for Sunday morning. It's not something to think that if you just go to church on Sunday, you're covered. It's a way of life. Let's read it. It's here in James 1. I want to start in verse 19. And he says, this you know, my beloved brethren, But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's a way of life. That's how we're to be, Christians. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, here's some more instructions. Here's some more directions, some more how you achieve that perfect law of liberty that you're talking about, Bob, and we're getting there. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. But once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. That means they're tossed to and fro. Every wind of doctrine, they today it's up, tomorrow it's down, the next day it's left, the next day it's right. They just hear it. Oh, it sounds good. It takes no root. It they're the Sunday only Christians, you might say. They think they are. It's just they just hear it and it sounds good to them and it tickles their ears and they feel good. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Oh, I just love what that Sunday practice. Oh, he just speaks to my heart and I feel so good. And he's just, that's all it is. It's these people that are just hearers. But we're to be doers. Not just hearers, but doers. Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it. Abides by the perfect law of liberty. I think that's what you're saying, Bob, right? We live by that law. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, so many of our people out there, they don't know. They just don't know. All they know is what they've been told on Sunday. And you know, it's like, bless their heart, they believe the lie. Let's see.
Psalms. You know what I really feel bad about? How many times I have heard very good living, you know, pretty much good living Christians, elderly people that say, well, you know, I've been a Christian all my life, but, you know, I try to read the Bible. I don't understand any of it.
Yep.
It's just all scrambled in my head. So I depend upon the minister Sunday to tell me what the...
See, they believe a lie.
And how to, you know, yep. How to believe.
Psalms 51. You know, a psalm of David. We sing the song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. And it is a... you know, it's a psalm of repentance, a psalm of returning. This is after the the visit by Nathan and the Bathsheba debacle, we might say. But he talks all the way through in, you know, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, verse 7. There's baptism for you, buddy. There's baptism remnant all the way back there, okay? At least a scripture that points to it. And in verse 10, I just want to read this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then, and that then is today for us, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. And you know, Bob, that's the job I think we have today, is to teach transgressors his ways and to help convert sinners. You know, the thought occurs to me, Jesus said, you know, the physician doesn't come to those that are healthy. You know, he came for the transgressors. He came for the sinners.
Well, you know, when you read stuff about the early church, you know how they got the most converts? People were coming to them because of the example of how they lived.
Yes.
Believe that or not, but that's what they'll tell you.
Yes.
The people saw how we were living, and they saw how much better things were with the way we acted and this and that, and they were drawn to that. They wanted to be part of that. They, you know.
Yes. They saw the contentment.
They actually called that their life was a living testimony.
Yes.
So, you know, there's different types of testimonies. You can come out and say your testimony about how you were converted or how this happened to you or that happened to you, but your actions are actually a living testimony.
Yes.
Walking around all the time to other people.
Absolutely it is. The pastor has a sign. We've shown it on the DVDs before and whatnot and brought it to Branson, and it says the greatest sermons are lived, not preached.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
And, you know, pastor loved that sign, and he lived it. He really did. Well, Bob, I got another caller. Sure appreciate the call. And have a blessed evening, brother.
Catch you another time.
Thank you. And we'll go to this other caller. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Good evening, Richard. It's Tom, Texas. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Good. Something I've noticed in paying attention to the news and everything, I mean, a lot of the, you know, garbage out of the Pope's mouth, his rejecting of, you don't want to hear about Europeans, Christians, roots and everything, and I mean, that's just actually validation of the Anglo-Israel truth as much as it is his rejection thereof it.
Yeah, they want nothing to do with it, that's for sure.
Just imagine if all of those people woke up and realized that, wow, Ezekiel 38 straight up upon us, that Magog, whom we know is of these Khazars, you know, who are running the show and letting them in there, and then the Muslim hordes thereafter, if only those people would wake up, you know.
Yep.
You'd have a European Union, all right. You'd have a whole Western world union.
Yeah. You know,
under the name of
Britain,
name of Jesus Christ.
Britain is
and
looking.
The Anglo-Israel truth, that is our heritage.
That's right. Britain
be
is
like
looking.
Days of old.
Britain is looking to come out of the European Union. They're bringing that up as a vote. And I heard a little bit. I was traveling today, so I flipped over to National Jewish Radio. National Public Radio. And and they were interviewing some people about that very thing. And of course, it was just the most horrible thing ever. You know, the European Union, when we stay in it, we are secure, we have a good economy, and we grow as a nation, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just
their European Union versus our.
That's right. You know, their European Union.
To the European, what would be a European Union, an Israelite, Mountains of Israel Union is two different things.
Right. It absolutely is. And, you know, if you look at, we've mentioned it before, but if you look at what the European nations have done over the last, say, since the 60s, so the last couple generations, they have mocked God. They've had nothing but socialism over there, which didn't work for the pilgrims here, and so that's when they went to commercialism.
What did one rabbi say, and it's quoted, I got an essay that's really quoted in, some call it communism, I call it what? Judaism?
Yeah. Judaism.
American
Absolutely.
Hebrew, 1935. I'd have to look it up. I have a reference.
And that's exactly what it is. And so they are God's people. They have mocked God. They have turned away from Him. They have worshipped every idol under every green tree and on every high hill, just like in the Old Testament. And it too, just like the words of the Pope that you mentioned, Tom, the actions of our European cousins, our sister over the sea, you might say, have proven, because now the locusts have come in without number, the bearded locusts with their 12-year-old wives and their children out the wazoos, and they have come in and have overridden and overrode them and are destroying them. And it is nothing less than the hand of God keeping His word. It absolutely is, and I think it's a modern-day example. And then it's for us, the other sister across the sea, as it was from the Old Testament, saying, you know, do you see what I'm doing to your wicked sister? Do you see? Are you going to just continue down her path, America? Or are you going to repent and return to me? So, Tom, I got another caller. We're going to try to get it. God bless, brother.
Sure.
Have a
God
great
bless.
Evening.
Take care.
Phones are ringing tonight. Oh. Caller, you just got a call back, unless it was a sales call. Sometimes we get those on that first line. But We are live tonight, the 26th of May, 307-74, let's see, let me get the number right, 307-745-5913, if you want to call. Reading John 9 tonight, we have seen miracles. Little Callan, you've heard us asking you for prayers for him, little local little boy, born on the 10th, so he's 16 days old. Some of the family got to see him on Tuesday and said he was looking good and he's growing. Keep praying for him. You know, he had a traumatic birth in the first few days. And so keep little Callan Stone, that's his middle name, Callan Stone. And he's been dedicated to God, and his parents are baptized Christians that love the Lord and believe in miracles and have prayed for miracles. And you know what? Their prayers are answered. You heard John give the testimony. You know, this little boy's father prayed that, Lord, the doctors would be dumbfounded, that you, Lord Jesus Christ, would be glorified, and the doctors would be dumbfounded. And the doctors have been dumbfounded. They have. They said he wouldn't breathe on his own. He breathes on his own. They said he wouldn't eat on his own. He's eating on his own. They said he wouldn't hear. He hears. Okay? That's God. That's Jesus Christ. That's truth. That's truth. This man we read about in John 9 was blind. His eyes did not work. They had never worked until Jesus healed him. And in that instant, when he went in obedience to the pool of Siloam and washed as Jesus told him to do. You know, Jesus didn't just put the little clay and apply the clay to his eyes and say, there you go. See, the man had to do something. He had to put something into it as well. But when he did, he was healed. Now, that's for us today. You know, we had prayers last night for healing for people. And we prayed believing, knowing that God answers our prayers, knowing that sin prevents that, but we've confessed our sin. Are we perfect? No. But we have confessed our sins to God and said, God, forgive us. Help us to be better today than we were yesterday. And we prayed to glorify Him, that others, that when those people are healed by the hand and power of Jesus Christ, because He is doing the works of God that sent Him, and we are doing the works that He commanded us to do, that when we do that, those people in those circles, wherever they are, all across the country, when they're healed by Jesus Christ, that there'll be somebody over there that sees that, that needs it. And it'll be like we read in Psalms 51:5. It'll cause sinners to repent. And it will help teach transgressors His perfect way. And it glorifies God. Now, we're not the only ones doing that. We know you're doing it out there too, Remnant. We know that's happening. Praise God. I believe this man that was born blind, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I think that once he was healed, I don't think it bothered him that he was born blind. I think he had his joy was made full. He could see. And everything that had happened before, I think, was forgotten. And I think he lived a good long life praising. And I bet he told his grandchildren. Maybe he told his great-grandchildren, let me tell you about this man, Jesus. Because I see you children here. But I was born blind. And he came and he healed me. And then I could see. That was the Son of God. And there's no telling how many families learned of Jesus Christ because of this man. That the Pharisees didn't believe it. And when they asked for a sign, Jesus told them they didn't believe the signs he'd given them. But as for us, we believe. we believe. Well, that's all the time I have tonight, folks, to share the gospel with you. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. It's encouraged me. I'm goosebumpy and just, oh, praise the Lord. Because I believe, I know. And what he did then, hey, he does now. He does it now for us. Praise the Lord. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And our phone number in the office during the day, 307-742-7582. And if you want to send an email, you want to maybe get on the prayer chain, or if you're interested in Branson, our email, preacher@sfaw.org. Well, thanks for joining us. God bless. Hey, come back tomorrow night. We'll have a program on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 on the East Coast. And hey, Saturday morning, it'll be here before you know it. Saturday morning, join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 7 a.m. Saturday morning. God bless.